the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hello, I'm Barbara. I've been a member of Belmont Chapel for about 5 years, and I work for Wycliffe Bible Translators. I was assigned to the Philippines, where I worked on the translation of the New Testament into one of the more than 170 languages there. And now I serve as a Bible translation consultant. Our reading today is Matthew 28:16-20, which is page 946 in the green church Bibles. There should be one in the seat in front of you. Page 946, Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Over the last 4 weeks, we've been thinking about living as disciples of Jesus and helping others to become disciples, using our head, heart, and hands for him. And the text we just read showed that Jesus always intended disciple-making to extend beyond our own country and culture to the whole world. Jesus' command was to disciple all nations, and clearly every disciple of Jesus is an individual person. The command is about bringing people to faith in Christ and to live lives of obedience to him. But the object of the verb there is all nations. Can a nation be discipled? Here are some interesting verses from Revelation. "The glory of God gives the holy city light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On each side of the river of life stood the tree of life, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Also in Revelation, John writes that he saw a great crowd worshiping God from every tribe, people, language, and nation. How did he know that? Maybe an angel told him. But I think that the differences will still be there. We won't just be a mass of people all dressed in white holding the same kind of harp. Some of the richness and the variety of the nations will still be there. God's plan involves nations as well as individuals. And here are some examples from history and current ones of discipling nations. It's agreed, even by secular historians, that 1,500 years ago, Patrick was the main instrument in transforming Ireland from an uncultured nation of idol worshippers into a godly nation known for its scholars and missionaries in just one generation. He discipled a nation. John Witherspoon was called the man who shaped the men who shaped America. He was a minister in Scotland. He resigned in 1768 and went to America, where he founded a Christian school. And its graduates include a president, a vice president, cabinet officials, many senators and congressmen, a Supreme Court justice, and many signers of the Declaration of Independence. He discipled a nation. The group I was assigned to in the Philippines used to be headhunters. This is not during the time I was there, and the picture on the left is dress-up. But people in their late 70s and above still remember the time of revenge killing. There is no native word in the language for forgive, because they didn't do it. If anybody harmed you or your family must take revenge. Then the gospel began to transform the culture. And people began to understand sin and God's forgiveness, and they learned to forgive others. Many influential leaders believed, and it affected the whole culture. Not everybody is Christian. There are still many problems there, but people notice how the culture is different from other parts of Ifugao, where the gospel hasn't taken root so well. An example from our own country is the Christian Institute, which exists for the furtherance and promotion of the Christian religion in the United Kingdom and elsewhere. They campaign on issues such as education, gambling, marriage and the family, medical ethics, religious liberty, etc. They are well respected by Parliament and invited to advise on issues such as the named persons scheme in Scotland, and they were largely responsible for the rejection of that scheme, which would have meant that teachers, social workers and others could override parents in choices for the raising of their children. These are examples of nation discipling. Most of us won't be St. Patrick's or Witherspoon's or expert researchers for the Christian Institute, but we can support those who are. Of course, evangelism, bringing people to faith in Christ, has to come first before discipling. And we heard earlier about the Rawsons and Louisa Colley, who are out with Operation Mobilization, taking the gospel to people who haven't yet believed. And everybody needs to know the message of salvation through Christ, the message that Anne explained earlier at communion. The Rawsons and all those who take this message to the world need prayer and financial support, and that's our part if we're not the ones to go. But the job is not finished when people believe. The believers need to be discipled just as we do. And we've been thinking of how faith must affect heads, hands, and hearts. And in this picture, you can also see in the center the Harrises, who met up with the Rawsons when the Logos Hope visited Mexico. For many, many years, they've been preaching, speaking at youth camps, preparing Bible reading notes, and so on. We also support France Mission in Rennes with the Violo family, who are church planting. In Exeter, Exeter ICE is a Christian education charity. We assist the local body of schools in the social, emotional, mental, and spiritual development of young people. And all these are laboring to disciple the minds of people. Paul says to Timothy, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." But discipling minds is not just information. It's looking at the world as God sees it and knowing our place in the world under God, and that's what changes culture. And for hearts, John says in his letter, "We love because God first loved us." And we had an example in the King's House orphanage in Molo. They serve the children in their care, but they also model an attitude of heart that can influence society. And hands. James says in his letter, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them?" And we had an example in the Asifundi Sonke Center in South Africa of how the church has provided practical help that is a testimony to the love of Christ. We've sent contact workers, students, and others to refugee camps in Greece and to the jungle in Calais. James tells us that true faith will result in practical good deeds, and this kind of help can be a powerful witness and create a climate for the gospel to be heard. So, how are you going to support the discipling of the nations? And I have to confess that my praying for mission has often been very narrow, and I've had a lot of help from this book, Pray for the World, which is a summary of Operation World, that lists prayer requests for whole nations, every nation of the world, and I try to pray for one every night. So you could pray more. Can you give more? Money invested prayerfully and wisely in mission is treasure stored up in heaven. Or can you be involved in some way, in one of these many ways we've shown you here, or there are so many opportunities to be involved in mission? Jesus living in us can change the world. How many times did we sing that last year and earlier as the band led it? Let's act on it and show we believe it. And if you're not yet a believer, then this message about Jesus Christ is for you also, and he can change your life. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and hoping that there'll be people who come and meet me and say, "Your church sent the Rawsons to bring us the gospel, and Jesus gave us a new life. Thank you. You prayed for Paul Kingori and his team, and their love for orphans shows how Jesus loves the weak. So I believed and started to help people. You joined a team to build a church so we could worship in our village, and our congregation was challenged that fellow believers would sacrifice to come so far to help us. And it will be wonderful if we can also see that we've contributed to the discipling of the nations, and there will be no more conflict, and there will just be one family under God, and all the glory will go to Jesus, our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that all the nations are yours and that all belong to you and all should worship you. And we ask that you'd forgive us for lacking zeal. You've given us so much. Show us ways that we can share this with those who do not know and those who still need to be grounded in their faith. Let all of us here know what is your will for our lives so that we will be disciples that are faithful to you and also be those who make disciples of people and of nations, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.